2014 Love Life Women's Conference in St. Louis, Missouri, September 25th through the 27th. Register today.
Thanks again for listening today. And to order today's offer, just head to our website or call. Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solis Roofing Contractors, Incorporated. Solis Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or replacement of metal roofing, asphalt shingles, flat foam, or single-ply roofing. Solis Roofing Contractors, Incorporated, licensed and insured, serving the Treasure Coast and South Florida since 1994 in commercial and residential roofing services. Located in Port St. Lucie, Solis Roofing Contractors is available at 772-336-1633.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. 1 Samuel, chapter 16. We are continuing in our series on the faith crisis, and today's message is entitled The Next Level of Faith. The crisis, the next level of faith. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, let's begin at verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Now, I'm going to go down a little bit into that same chapter and pick it up. I won't read the entire story. I think we are familiar with this portion of scripture as Samuel was called to anoint David to be the king over Israel. Saul lost his position as king through disobedience. He disobeyed God's command, and the kingdom was taken from him. Understand something. If God has called you to and placed you in a high position, there is not a great deal of latitude for you to make decisions that are not godly, that are not God-inspired, that are not according to God's destiny for your life. Moses was one who allowed, or did not allow, but for some reason the people vexed his spirit so that he smote the rock twice in front of the assembly. And God said, Moses, because you did not sanctify me in front of the people, you will see the promised land, but you'll not enter the promised land. So there was not a lot of latitude. Know that when God takes you to high places or sets you in high places, there'll not be a great deal of latitude. That's why the training process. Moses spent 80 days in the presence of God alone. He spent 40 years in the wilderness, amen, being trained. And so it's important that we understand high position means high sacrifice. If we skip down to verse number 6, and it came to pass when they were come, now Samuel has gone to Jesse's house, and Jesse has called his sons. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, that was his second oldest, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, that was his third eldest. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and none had God chosen. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look on, or to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. The Bible says here that the Lord looketh not. The Lord came upon David. David's appearance was that of being ruddy. He was a handsome, well-featured young man of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look upon. His older brothers were very stately, very strong, people of stature. But God said, don't look on the outward appearance, because God looks at the heart. God looks at the inner workings of a person. And this he saw something in David that he did not see in his older brothers. And so he told Samuel to take the horn. See, when Saul was anointed to be king, first of all, God did not choose for them to have a king. They wanted a king like other nations. So God suffered them. But the first king, even though God chose him, the first king was anointed with a flask. It was not a ram's horn. It was a flask. It was something man-made. Thus, the king bore the features of humanness or humanity versus the features or characteristics of the divine. In other words, Saul, there was something from day one lacking with Saul. Number one, he was the people's choice. And people tend to choose by sight. But God said, Samuel, don't look on the outward appearance. For I look, and people tend. Now, when Samuel came to anoint David, he anointed him with a ram's horn. See, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the inner workings, because the ram's horn represented that a life had to be sacrificed. You understand, for that horn to carry that oil, it meant that a life had been sacrificed. So in David, at looking at David, God seeing his life and what was in David, he saw that there would be a life that would be sacrificed. He was not looking on the outward appearance. He was looking at David. See, when he saw the little shepherd boy, he saw the king of Israel. Because he saw a life that would be sacrificed. Even though he did not have the respect or the honor of his father or his brethren to even be called to the meeting. Thank God today he looks on the heart and not just the outward appearance. Amen. It's not the size of the dog you have in the fight. It's the size of the fight that's in the dog. That ram's horn represents a life sacrifice, because immediately in verse 13, and Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, I want to tell you something here. David kept the sheep. He tended the flock. He had the least amount of influence with his position in the family. He was the youngest. And again, attention wasn't even paid to David. His father didn't even remember until Samuel brought it to his mind by the unction of the Spirit of God. Are there any more children? And then David was thought about. But see, after the anointing came upon David, his shepherding was about to change. He was going back to tend those same little sheep. But see, let me tell you something, what I just declared. God, I'm gonna declare it again. God said, behold, I'm getting ready to do a new thing here. You see, David went right back in the midst of his brothers. All was done was oil was poured on him. There was no manifestation, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. See, there was a fresh oil. There was something God was doing. At the same time, an evil spirit came upon Saul. In other words, there was a shift in the spirit. The Spirit of God was moving from an old order, from an old regime, from an old mindset, from something that couldn't get the job done, to place it on something that didn't look like it could get the job done, but was going to get the job done. I'm here to tell you there's a shift right here, right now, in the spirit realm, and behold, God does a new thing. The anointing, the Spirit of God, the day the oil was poured upon him, the Spirit of God came upon him. And the Spirit of God departed from Saul. David was anointed in the midst of his brethren. When he was anointed, everything changed. Now, you know, his brethren might not have seen it, paid any attention to it, because David had to go back and tend the sheep. But everything changed from that day forward. Because now, God was about to prove something. And to raise up another king. But he was calling him from the sheepfold. You see, tending sheep like that has a great deal to do with being able to tend God's flock. You have to know how to protect that flock. You have to know how to correct that flock. You have to know how to lead that flock. And see, whether you realize it or not, where God has you, you may feel like it's not significant. But God is training you. And teaching you right where you are, even when people have discarded you. They've written your name off. They don't think you're going to amount to anything. They don't pay attention to you. Your name hadn't been brought up. See, God, you know, real quickly anointed you and sent you back. See, sometimes he has you there to protect you, to protect your anointing. Hello, to protect you, to keep you pure. There's some stuff right where you are that God needs for you to experience. Because there's another level of faith he's about to take you to. But he's got to get you content with tending the sheep. See, when David was attending the sheep first, God didn't allow anything to come his way. It was just ho-hum tending the sheep. But now he's anointed. You got to understand something. When you get anointed, everything changes. Where you walk changes. How you talk changes. What you experience changes. Now that he's anointed, God allowed a bear. See, no bear had come before. No lion had come before. But now he's anointed. God says, I got to do something in obscurity with you. I've got to show you something. I've got to impart something to you. I've got to teach you how this anointing works. Come on, right while you're tending the sheep. No, I'm not going to give you a microphone yet. You won't have your own ministry yet. But I've anointed you to be king, to shepherd my people. The first thing is the anointing. If you get anointed and you've been cleaning toilets or sweeping streets, guess what? God's not going to put you in the penthouse. You're going to go right back to sweeping the street. But all of a sudden that street, when people walk on that street, they're going to take notice of that street. This street ain't never been this clean. This toilet ain't never been this clean. This bathroom, you can eat off the floor in here. Why? The anointing. David went back. This is the problem with humans. They get anointed, and instead of going back to the sheepfold, you know, they want to make their own way rather than wait upon God. Tell somebody, wait upon God with your anointed self. Wait upon God with your anointed self. Let God open the door. Let God make the way. See, he's got to go before you.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 20 of The Faith Crisis, The Next Level. If God calls you to a high position, there is not a lot of latitude to make decisions that are not God-inspired. High position means high sacrifice. That's why a training process is necessary. The Word of God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Saints cannot follow the example of Saul. He was more concerned with pleasing people than obeying the voice of the Lord. Flesh will cause you to choose wrong, but listening to the Holy Spirit will keep you in proper alignment with God.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS. Or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.